Father Scott said it well earlier in praise. This is a very interesting service, a very interesting day. We do begin in high praise, and yet we can leave here in tears. For the very people on the road in Jerusalem, that was saying Hosanna in the highest, and maybe he didn't know why. In a few short days, are screaming, crucify him. Given the option of him or a known murderer, are saying, give us Barabbas. And crucify him to Jesus. And if you really study that, it becomes shocking of how quickly men can be led astray. And I can... Someone asked me one time, how can people who have known Christ, who have received Christ, who have been baptized in Christ, who have followed Christ, how can they be led astray? And I can only tell you, saints of God, very easily. It's shocking. Recently, I was meeting with an individual who had served Christ, who said to me, I'm not going to die. I don't have to change the way I'm going to live. I have plenty of time. I was struck this week when apparently a co-pilot, in a moment of self-will, took 149 other people into the side of a mountain. None of them thought they were going to die. How quickly death can come to any of us. In Jacksonville, we're killing a person a day, it seems like. I mean, I don't get the newspaper because I don't like to listen to the news because we just kill people because we can do it, it seems. How transient is life? And yet this was a friend of mine who said to me, I beat this disease and I beat that disease. I'm not going to die. I will not change my lifestyle. If God wants to kick me out of heaven for this, it's okay for right now. This morning, I want to talk to us in some very serious language about how should we prepare for Easter. Because it struck me this week how transient life is. Now, maybe a lot of us haven't given thought to Easter and how to prepare for it. I mean, we live really busy lives. We do a really great job on preparing for Easter, for Christmas. We spend months. We're so good about preparing for Easter, we're ready to throw out Thanksgiving. For Christmas, thank you. We throw out Thanksgiving and we start somewhere in June or July. You know, we hang wreaths, we light candles, we trim trees, we wrap gifts. I know people that start buying gifts in February and March when they're on sales for the next Christmas. We put enough lights on our house to keep the man in the moon alive. But Easter, what about that? If you're a real fanatic, or you have young children, you might dye a few eggs. Your wife might buy a new outfit. Boom, you're done. What's up with that? You're all set. But to Christians, Easter should be the most important event of the year. I mean, all religions have a birth, right? Easter is that day that we celebrate the central event of our history, the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead in order to give us an eternal life in heaven, to break the bar, the division that happened from Adam to Christ, where no man entered into heaven. So maybe we should give more thought to the importance of Easter. Now, for centuries now, we included, not for centuries, but for 20 years, we've participated in Lent. I agree. It begins on Ash Wednesday and concludes on Easter. But I want to share this morning three things that should be part of our preparation for Easter. And we've got a week to do them all in. First, we saw this morning in our liturgy in Mark 11, 1 through 11. It's part of the Palm Sunday story. And it dealt with the two disciples that we read outside, where Jesus sent two of the disciples to go to a village to untie a colt and to bring it to him. You remember the story. I won't read it again. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us which two, whether it was Peter and Andrew or James and John. Doesn't matter which two. The neat thing is, they went. There wasn't any debate. They didn't argue with, well, why are you sending me? Why aren't you sending the other two? Why do I have to go? There was obedience. Now, had I been back there, and the other thing that's not recorded, by the way, is in going, we didn't hear a lot of discussion. We don't know what they said. If it had been me going, I can imagine my conversation. You really think we should untie the colt? You think the master knows the owner? You really think they're just going to let us walk away and not get arrested? What if someone tries to take a swing at us? What are we supposed to do? I would be asking those questions. I don't know. Maybe they're just bold people. It doesn't matter. They went. See, we tend to read the Bible as if we know what's going to happen because we've got the whole story. But those guys didn't have the story. They were told to go, and they went. Kind of like today, if God tells you to do something, does he tell you how it's going to end? It's kind of scary when God tells you to do something and you don't know how it's going to end. I'm sure none of you argue with God. I do. He wins. And I go, well, why did I argue? Because it always turns out like he said, but I argue, but the disciples were obedient. They didn't know how it was going to turn out. They just simply did what Jesus said do, and the results glorified God. So the first thing that we need to do as we prepare for Easter is we need to determine that we're going to do what God says do. And then we're going to have the boldness to say, okay, God, whatever you want, use me. I got one hand. Okay, I see a few hands. Whatever you want, God, use me. Here's the thing I know. There are two prayers that I know always work. Whatever God you want, use me, and then watch him. The second prayer, God reveal all truth. Now, we don't always like what he reveals, but God will reveal all truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth means we got to change us. Because often when we say reveal all truth, we're really talking about someone else. Reveal all truth over there. Oh, there are three fingers pointed back at me. And God starts with me. And then by the time he finishes with me, I forgot who I was pointing at. So, the first thing we need to prepare for Easter is determine not my will be done, but thy will be done. And sincerely mean it. Because see, when they brought the donkey and the colt, the word says when Jesus came to the place as the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to joyfully praise God in a loud voice. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And the whole of the people joined in with the praise, to the point that the Pharisees got upset. Now, can you believe that anyone would get upset with that? And the Pharisees complained to Jesus and said, "Teacher, stop the people from doing this." And Jesus replied in Luke 19:39 and 40, "If I tell them to keep quiet, the stones will cry out." All in all, that's a great model for us. Guys, it gets catchy. If we in our little groups at work, if we in our groups in the church will decide to follow Christ, others will say, "Ooh, that's working. Let me do that." All we need to do is simply obey this week. And so I ask you and ask God, is he calling you for further repentance? Ooh, that's damn. I'm going to Madeline. For a deeper faith in him. Is he telling you to forgive someone? To help someone? To give up something? To take something on? He told about 10 or 12 men yesterday to give up half a day and to go do yard work. And when I got there about 20 minutes late, I promise you guys, it looked like a bunch of ants working over this yard. And I think I'm going to have to call the city to explain to them that there wasn't a professional yard group making a mess, because it's going to take the city 4 or 5 weeks to haul off what our guys did in about 4 hours in stacking along the road. just blessing one of our members. What an incredible job. They gave up their day to go help someone in the church. Is he telling you to say no to something you want to do, something that you want to do? I can't tell you what he's telling you to do. I can only use the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, used at the wedding of Cana. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's what she said at the wedding. Whatever he says, just do it. And you will be amazed at what happens with your obedience. The second thing that we need to do, and it's not in the scriptures for today, but it's one of the most overlooked scriptures in the Easter story, in today's story of Palm Sunday. It's found in Luke, the 19th chapter, 41 through 44. Feel what Jesus feels. The word says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes, and the day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side, and they will dash you to the ground, and you and your children within your walls. And they will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. See, very few people talk about Jesus' weeping on his ride into Jerusalem. In fact, for years, I overlooked it myself. Matthew didn't mention it. Mark didn't mention it. Luke's the only person that brings it up. But Jesus wept over the city. He didn't weep because he was about to be crucified. Oh, he knew that. But that wasn't why he wept. The Greek word here for wept is a gut-wrenching, teeth-grinding, sobbing. It's the same word used when Mary wept for her brother Lazarus at his tomb. When Mary Magdalene sobbed at Jesus' tomb. With Peter's bitter weeping when he realized that he had denied his master Jesus three times before the cock crowed. He didn't weep for himself, but he wept because he knew the city was turning in on itself and would be destroyed in 70 AD. That too is a good model for you and me in this week, in this time. We need to ask Jesus to show us our brothers and sisters through his eyes. We need to weep. We need to weep for our colleagues and our neighbors, our roommates, our brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers that do not know Jesus as we know him. We need to get bold and share Jesus. We need to ask the questions, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And if you think you would go to heaven, why would you go there? And look to see if it's a works answer or if it's a true knowledge answer. Ask Jesus to flood us with his compassionate heart. One way to prepare for Easter is to have the heart of Jesus. The third way to prepare for Easter this week is found in Matthew's Gospel 21:10 through 11, and that is to tell who Jesus is. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" Matthew's gospel said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." And it says the whole city was stirred. The word "stirred" there is the same word in the Greek that we get the seismic event from. It's the same word that we later see when Christ died on the cross, when the whole earth shook and rocks split. What will happen if you and I and everyone in this room begins to share Jesus? The city will be stirred. People are waiting. They're waiting to see if Jesus is real. They're waiting to see if we really care. They're waiting to see if the churches who are filled with people singing praises and crying out to Jesus and claim to know Him, if we really can make a difference in their lives. What's going on, they ask. What's this about? And who is this? There's no better way to prepare for Resurrection Sunday than to tell someone about who Jesus is. There was a study done, and the number one reason people don't come to church, because no one asks them to come. The number one reason, no one ever asked me. Your mission, if you would prepare for Easter in a way that will bring a smile to God's face and true enjoying and lasting joy into the life of others, is to find a person this week and invite him or her to be your guest on this coming Easter Sunday. And as we talk about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and when that happens, then believe God for what He will do in their lives. To be the same thing that that Christ did on this first Palm Sunday. It might bring joy to others when they discover Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, the Messiah, God, the risen Christ. Christ in America, we've become too complacent in our churches. And people in our communities have said the church is no longer relevant because we're too comfortable where we sit. And it's become a them versus us. And meanwhile, pilots fly airplanes into mountains. Kids take guns into schools. Young adults take guns into universities. And we sit comfortable in our pews. 12 men 2,000 years ago made historical differences that are still reverberating today. We 50 few, can impact this city like no other if we just decide that we will invite one other this Easter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand.